And I strongly believe that there's a reason for that, that there's a purpose for it, that it's not random, that if you're here today, it's not because you just happened to stumble upon our church, but that God has led you and He is doing something very unique. And I am very thankful for that. So, talked with the kids about how important the Bible is and how different the Bible is from all other books. And I want us to talk for just a few minutes. I am aware of the time. Don't worry. We're not going to go, I don't have to fight with football, but lunch is delayed. The longer I speak, the more lunch is delayed. So, I don't know. But I do want to talk briefly about how important it is that we focus on the Word of God. And as you remember, we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And honestly, if all we do is read chapter 2 together, it will be worth being together for that. Because the Word of God is active, and it is alive, and it is like a sword that cuts through some of the barriers that we put up. Now, we've talked about memorizing a verse every week. And do you remember the verse that we had 2 weeks ago, because we had the joint service last week, but do you remember the verse that we were memorizing together? Now, it's going to be right here, but I'd like for us to say it together, even if maybe you didn't memorize it yet. I'd like for us to say it together. So would you say that with me? We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly remember to you, sorry, in our prayers. I memorized a different verse. Remembering you in all our prayers is what I memorized, and then I put a different one up there. Constantly remembering or mentioning you in all our prayers. I love that verse as I was working to memorize it because I constantly am thinking of you. And I'm giving thanks to God always for all of you. I love that verse. I love that verse. And I want us to continue, and so we'll have a second shot at another memory verse. Keep going with that one, by the way. But let's continue. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 together. You don't have to read it out loud, but read with me as we read this, and I want us to talk briefly about what God is saying through it. Chapter 2 begins with, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, that our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are our witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. But you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But God's wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. I want us to go through briefly and look at this again and think through a couple of these things that we see in this chapter that help point us towards what is at work in our lives as well as was in the work at work in the lives of the Thessalonians. Paul begins this by reminding them, for you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. For though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. And you remember that we talked about, as we had the introduction to the book of 1 Thessalonians, we talked about the conflict, which meant that Paul had to actually flee the city. And surely what had happened, it was just after a couple of months, and surely someone was saying either to his group or there where he was located at this particular time or back in Thessalonica, it was all a waste of time. Everything that you did, all that you invested, you were only there for a couple of months. What possibly could come out of that? It was a waste of your time. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt like you've been investing in something? You've been trying your best to live out and proclaim the gospel, and it just seemed like nothing was happening? And others are saying, what a waste of your time. What a waste of your time. And Paul is saying, I declare to you the gospel in the midst of the conflict, and it was not a waste of time. And then he continues, for our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. All these motives that people were probably giving to his efforts. But just, he says in verse 4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not trying to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. Have you ever had someone question your motives, question why it was that you were doing something? Are you doing it because of greed, because of the desire to get something out of it? Paul faced that. And he says, in verse 5, for we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. Wasn't trying to build you up, wasn't trying to get something. God is our witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. So here's a question before we go on. How long does it take for someone to become dear to you? Paul had only been in Thessalonica for a couple of months at the most, and yet he says of these people, he says, it was worth it to me that I didn't just come and proclaim the gospel, but I also gave you everything that I am. I gave you my whole life. I invested in you with everything that I am. And so how long does it take us to get to that point? For Paul, it was quick. It was almost instantaneous that as he walks in with the idea, these are people who are worthy because they are created by God and they are loved by God. They are worthy not just of hearing the gospel, but of getting everything that I am. You know, we live in a world that doesn't reward that, does it? If you begin to invest in people, if you begin to share not just maybe good words or gospel or whatever the case may be, you can quickly end up in a situation in which people take advantage of you, in which people make fun of you, in which people do things that to hurt you. You know, but the truth is the same was exactly true of Paul. Paul is writing this from a distant place because he was run out of town. And what he's saying is, in spite of what I faced, in spite of that happened, it was worth it because I loved you and I didn't want to just preach at you. I wanted to share life with you. May we never be found guilty of preaching at people and not loving them. May we always be found loving people, and because we love, we preach, share the gospel. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, he says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day." He was a tent maker, probably made tents night and day so that he could, as he goes on to say, "so that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." I love that phrase, walk in a manner worthy of God. Now, there's a difference. Some of us try to walk, and I've been guilty of this, of trying to walk in a way that was worthy of someone else, worthy of the people I work with, or worthy of my friends, or worthy of my spouse. But the truth is the charge is to walk in a way that is worthy of God. He is the one we're trying to reflect. We're not trying to reflect our workplace. We're not trying to reflect our friendships. We're not trying to reflect our spouse or our family. We are trying to reflect the God of the universe. What does it mean to walk in a way that is worthy of God around the people that he's called us to? And then he picks up in verse 13 and says, "And we also thank God constantly." Now, that's not where I would have gone if it were me. It says, walk in a way, a manner worthy of God, and we thank God. Yeah, I'd probably, if it were talking about me, I'd be tempted to say, "And man, you know, I'm disappointed." But he says, "And I thank God," because it's not about our perfection. It's not about that we instantly are the perfect representatives. But verse 13, "And we thank God constantly for this, that you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it, not as the word of men, but as for what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." See, the thing which Paul is saying is, I'm not thankful that you did it perfectly on your first attempt, that you reflected, that you walked worthy of God in your first attempt, but that you received the word and are letting it be active and alive in you, and that it cuts into your life and says, that is sin. That is not going to reflect the glory of God. That is what needs to happen. This reflects him. It looks like him. It's his character. That we receive the word of God, which is at work in us. It's not finished. I don't know about you, I'm not finished. In fact, this is such a major German word, Baustelle, building a workplace, and my life is such a large Baustelle that God's got plenty to do to keep him busy between now and the time I go to be with him. But his word is active and at work in us. Verse 14, "For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same thing." You're willing to suffer for the gospel. "You suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up to the measure of their sin. But the wrath has come upon them at last." Let's continue verse 17. "But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person but not in heart, we endeavor the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered. For what is our hope or joy or crown or of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. He was torn away from you, he says. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes whenever we encounter things that we do not like, sometimes when we feel like we're torn away from a person or a situation, whenever we don't, Paul says, I wanted to come again and again and again and again to see you, and yet Satan hindered that I was not able to do that. Now, sometimes we're under the misconception that if we just pray hard enough, if we just live right enough, that everything will work like it should. And I want to tell you, that is not the truth. Every single one of us will face challenges and face times whenever we are opposed by Satan. If you're never opposed by Satan, it means you're not doing anything to threaten him. And sometimes the road is blocked. It doesn't mean God stopped working. And it doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. It simply means you live in a broken world. And if we are living as we can, best we can, to live in a manner worthy of God, then in spite of the places where the way is blocked, in spite of the times that we feel we are ripped away from circumstances and people that we love, we can trust that God continues to work in spite of all of that, even in circumstances we wish were different. So, our memory verse. Our memory verse for today is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. May it be true of us. Let's pray together. Father, may that verse reflect the reality of our lives. May we accept your word. May we trust and lean upon what you are doing in our lives to shape us to your likeness. That your word is active and it's living and it is at work in our lives, transforming us to be the people you have called us to be. We pray this in your name. Amen.